This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Coming up, looking ahead to the first game of the World Series. But first, 13 years ago, the United States was shocked by the brutal attack on a 28-year-old woman who became known as the Central Park Jogger. The woman was raped, beaten, and left to die in a muddy puddle. She survived, and five teenage boys were convicted for that crime, which brought national attention to the phenomenon of wilding. Groups of boys roaming the park, attacking people and property. But now, new evidence has emerged that ties the assault to another man who is currently in prison, and he says the boys had nothing to do with the attack. NPR's Nancy Solomon reports on the case, which returns to court on Monday.
This is a case that was all but closed. Four of the five boys convicted in the assault had finished their sentences, and the Central Park jogger had moved to the suburbs and was writing a book about her life. But then, last January, a serial rapist and murderer named Matias Reyes confessed that he alone attacked the woman. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office investigated his claim and found his DNA matched with semen found on the victim's sock. He is serving a life sentence for a similar rape murder that occurred just 2 days before the jogger was attacked. The attorney for three of the five boys convicted in the case, Roger Wareham, says this story raises the specter of the Scottsboro boys.
What happened to them is not atypical. To the degree that there is any justice in the criminal justice system in this country, it does not apply when it comes to black defendants, and particularly not when charged with a crime against a white person, and more particularly against a white woman.
Wareham wants the convictions overturned so their reputations are restored and they won't have to register as sex offenders for the rest of their lives. District Attorney Robert Morgenthau declined an interview with NPR, but he told the New York Times he was still not convinced the five boys were not involved. He plans to ask the judge for more time at Monday's hearing. Joshua Marquis of the National District Attorneys Association says he doesn't put much faith in a cell block confession of a man who has nothing to lose.
We're putting a great deal on the word of this man, who is an acknowledged serial rapist and a murderer, that, hey, trust me, these other kids weren't involved.
But there's also questions whether there's real evidence that they were involved. The boys were 14 to 16 years old at the time. The police arrested them in Central Park that night, and after lengthy questioning, one boy was interrogated for 30 hours straight. All five of them confessed to the crime. Those videotaped confessions, including this one by 14-year-old Kevin Richardson, turned out to be the sole evidence against them.
She tried to get up. Mike Bisco hit her back down on the floor, kept on hitting her.
Mike was hitting her?
Yeah.
What was he hitting her with? His hands, a weapon?
Yeah, with his fist.
Where was he hitting her?
In the face.
All the tapes are filled with details, but a psychology professor at Williams College who's studied this case extensively says they're mostly the wrong ones. Saul Kassin, who's written about false confessions, says a surefire way to know a suspect isn't telling the truth is when the story changes and the facts don't match the evidence. For instance, he says Richardson changes his account of who was there and how they assaulted the jogger.
And then after enough pressing and enough suggestion, enough leading questions suggesting that it couldn't have happened that way, that it had to be something else like a rock, he said they hit her with a rock. And then just moments after the rock, he refers to it as bricks. What you see here is a story that changes because he's making it up as he goes along.
Kassin says false confessions often occur when suspects are afraid, tired, or led to believe they could go home if they say what interrogators want to hear. If it turns out that these confessions were coerced, it will further discredit a department still tarnished by the assaults on Abner Louima and Amadou Diallo. New York Police Lieutenant Eric Adams wants an independent investigation into the prosecution of the case. He's with a group called 100 Blacks in Law Enforcement Who Care.
We need to finally put to rest how a countless number of men, particularly those of color, are confessing to crimes that they did not, in fact, commit. And not until we get to the heart of that matter will we begin to prevent innocent people from going to jail.
Even if the convictions in the Central Park jogger case are overturned, it will probably never be fully understood what prompted five boys to confess to a crime they didn't commit. Nancy Solomon, NPR News, New York.